Streets is done.
Streets is done. Streets is done.
Yeah, yeah. Gang, back in the stool.
Gang, 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 gang.
Yeah,
gang,
gang, back in the stool.
Gang.
Young nigga, win, 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 win.
Bitch.
How can I lose? How can I lose?
Done podcast. We are back in the building. It's a Saturday. You know what we're doing. My niggas are out here. It's Marcus Aries. Who else is here?
You know the vibes. This is Big Daddy Mojo. I'm actually a father, so that makes sense.
So yeah. Since you're a father, nigga.
Yo, it's Shah Dumisa. If you want to say my surname, 24-75. Yo.
Yo, yo. And then there's another nigga here. He's on call. He's on call right now. What you saying, sir?
Yo, 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 you got old man via the wireless. Okay, not really. It's just by the foot. Old man, what's good?
What are you trying to do, dog?
Hey, man, I'm trying to figure out an intro because I need an intro, dog.
You need an intro. Nah, you'll sort it out. You'll sort it out. But you know, he's a rap. He's a rap. Nah, but you know, streets are done. We back, episode 2, season 2. And today we're talking about rap dynasties. My niggas, I really just want to like ask you, what comes to your mind when I tell you rap dynasty or hip-hop dynasty?
Okay, for me, first, you got to think about what Diddy was doing with like Biggie and them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the greatest rap dynasties I've ever seen. Where Lil' Kim and them blew up, whatever, whatever. And there was Tupac and them at the same time. I think that's what started this whole thing.
Yeah.
How everybody was beefing and shit and shit. And damn, what comes to your mind, bro?
No, but you were right, dog. I get what you're saying, the start of the true dynasties.
Okay. What's this nigga say?
Yo, what's up? Yeah, so it's not necessarily the start, but one of the major points for the rap dynasties was the whole Tupac and Shug and all of that stuff, and Diddy and Biggie and shit. What comes to mind with regards to rap dynasties is that it really shows that rappers ain't shit alone, dog. It may be a rap dynasty, but it's everything around the rappers.
Yeah.
With, it's not just the rappers. The rappers are just... It's unfair to call it a rap dynasty, necessarily, because the rappers are just one small part of this big team.
What you mean?
Take the DJs back in the day, your Grandmaster P's and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
The MCs, they weren't the main show. Nowadays, it's like the rappers are kind of like the main show, yeah. But back in the days, it was a DJ. No one came, like, it was fun to have the MC, but no one came for the MC.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So rap dynasties really started there for me. That's my thing.
Okay. Dalu, what comes to your mind when you think rap dynasties, my dog?
I think first group that comes to mind is Wu-Tang.
Ooh, definitely. Do you consider Wu-Tang a dynasty?
Yeah.
It started off as a collective, right? And then over time, you see each individual become prosperous in their own, what's this, small Nyana faction. I mean, look at the likes of Method Man. He went on to become an actor, very serious actor. You look at the likes of Raekwon, still a very respected producer. Yeah. You look at the likes of Ghostface Killer. At some point, like for the longest time, you couldn't really drop a New York hit without Ghostface on it. And just everyone as a whole, you look at ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, and like just his style of rapping and what that gave birth to, like the likes of, I'd go so far as saying the likes of Flatbush Zombies, the likes of Earth Gang, just that kind of crazy, out of this world, out of pocket kind of rapping.
Mm.
Yeah. Danny Browns, all those niggas. I feel like all those niggas are children of the likes of what's this, ODB. And the RZA, dog. The RZA does everything. What's that Afro Samurai movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Shundis. That's basically RZA's baby. And when you look at everything that they did after
the music
era. Yeah, after the Wu-Tang era and everything they became, I feel like that's kind of, it puts them in the dynasty talk. Mm. It puts them in the dynasty talk, in my opinion. But yeah, and NWA.
And definitely NWA.
A whole different way, yeah.
Because, like, if we're trying to break down, like, you know, with the definition of a rap dynasty, in my mind, when I think of a rap dynasty, I don't necessarily think of, like, a specific group or label, because you can't always just attach it to, like, one group or a label, in a sense, because it's, like, the impact that these individuals together achieved and what that impact has spread out into. So, like, now, when we talk about a rap dynasty, like Bad Boy, for example, right, they had Biggie. And, you know, like, Biggie made his impact in music, but it doesn't just stop there. It's also, like, what happened with Lil' Kim and how she, like, you know, introduced a whole new sound and how, you know, she basically paved the way for female rappers in her own way. And, like, that stems from Bad Boy. But then also, it's not just the music, but you can also just talk about, like, you know, Puff Daddy's label, like, Sean John. Because, like, you know, it doesn't just stop there when you're talking about, like, a rap dynasty or a hip-hop dynasty. It's like, it's not just with the music, it's what they impacted and what they achieved.
Yeah, so basically a dynasty is a group of niggas moving together to, like, achieve a certain goal all together. So people with, like, different backgrounds and different focuses just come together and they just create one huge thing that benefits everyone. Basically.
Nah, for sure, for sure, for sure. So, like, what's, like, your guys' favorite rap dynasties or hip-hop dynasties?
Okay, for me, I'm going to say Dr. Dre's Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dynasty. And at the same time, it gave birth to so many other dynasties.
Like
how Eminem went off and did his own thing after that.
Slim Shady Records.
Yeah, and how 50 Cent also came up with his own shit after that.
That makes me ask, though, would you consider TDE, right, to be, like, I don't know, a child of the Aftermath dynasty?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, Kendrick comes from there. So basically everyone, for me, how I've seen it, everyone that goes to start another dynasty came from somewhere else. From Wayne, Wayne came from Cash Money. They had a group called Hot Boys. And then after that, when that wasn't working out anymore, he took the role to become a head of another dynasty, which was Cash Money. And he brought up Wayne, Drake, Tiger, and all those names.
Yeah.
And then after that, Drake also went on to do the same thing with OVO, Sun, and whatever. He created his whole shit with, like, 40 and all those Toronto names.
Yeah.
So basically, I think they all just come from one another. Dr. Dre also came from, he wasn't the same thing as,
he was an NWA.
Tupac.
Oh, are you talking about
Death Row Records?
Death Row, yeah. He was also in Death Row, which was also a huge dynasty at the time. So,
but, like, where's the cutoff line between, like, a dynasty child and, like, a whole new dynasty now? Because, like, we can talk about, for example, Def Jam, right? Obviously, yeah. Def Jam, I consider to be the biggest hip-hop dynasty ever formed, because just of how much it's done. Because you think about Beastie Boys, you think about LL Cool J, you think about Jay-Z, Kanye, all of them who are on, like, the record label and what they've all become and what they've done for the culture. But for example, you talk about Rockefeller or Rock Nation.
Yeah,
that's like a child of Def Jam, but then it was started by Jay-Z and it's his own thing. It's like a whole different dynasty in its own now, because, like, you look at what it's created. It's created, like, Tidal. It's created the deals with, like, Douce, and, like, all of that have impacted the culture of hip-hop.
I feel like Def Jam, compared to the other dynasties, is like, Def Jam is a company. It's like managers and whatever that just get people every time. And when someone's run is over, they just move on to someone else. Right. Then Def Jam is always going to be there. But when you compare it to, like, Rockefeller and, I don't know, Good Music, TDE also, Dreamville, when the leaders of those groups die off, I don't think they still want to be there. It's like how when Wayne started falling off, Young Money wasn't doing as good as it used to do. When Jay-Z moved to Def Jam or whatever, Rockefeller had to die off. Because that guy isn't...
You know, I think Dalu has something to say about that.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, but Jay-Z kind of re-established Rockefeller, though. After parting with Dame, after becoming CEO of Def Jam, He left Def Jam and reignited his thing, his rapping career. And by doing so, he started Rockefeller up again. Like, that's where...
No, he started Rock Nation. Dame Rock started... Because I mean. Dame Nation, tried to start Rockefeller again in, like, 2010.
Yeah. But Rock Nation is like Rockefeller 2.0.
Yeah, basically. Because that guy. Because I think Rihanna's was on Rock Nation for a while.
Isn't she still a part of Rock Nation?
Does she still make music, though?
I mean, hey, man. I watched an interview with Rick Rubin and Pharrell. And Pharrell was talking about making new music for Rihanna. And that was this year.
So. That was this year.
Yeah. So she might be. She might still be in there. But yeah, you asked a question about, like, which dynasty... did you say the most successful?
I first asked, like, which one's your guys' personal favorites. Like, we'll get into, like, which one have which dynasties have left the biggest impact.
For me, it has to be Rock Nation.
Yeah.
Man, there's a disconnect between Rock Nation and what's this Rockefeller, but I kind of look at them as one thing. And when you do that, you look at the likes of, okay, Jay-Z put on Kanye. Then Jay-Z went on and put on Rihanna. Then Jay-Z went on and put on J. Cole. And, like, if you look at those three specifically and what they've done as individuals, they have their own, like... Okay, Rihanna went on and did the whole makeup and Fenty shit.
I mean, that's still part of the dynasty, in a sense, because, like, she was still part of it. So, like, Fenty would be a child of the Rock Nation dynasty.
Right. And then there's Dreamville. Then there's Yeezy, there's fucking, dude, there's good music. I know I don't mess with good music as a whole, but, like, there's good music, there's the artists that came from good music, like your 2 Chainz and all of them cats, your Big Sean's and all of that. And, like, if you look at how far the roots go and just how long the branches are, for me, in terms of, like, best, most favorable outcome in terms of dynasties, I think that might be Rock Nation. So that's my favorite.
That's your favorite.
Just answer that question. Yeah.
Shah, what's your favorite dynasty?
Tricky. Because of my love for Kendrick and what he's done, but not just him, the people around him, TDE for sure.
Mm.
But I have a huge thing, like, about Wu-Tang. Yo, Wu-Tang is some other shit, but also with regards to the culture, let's never ever forget. We like to downplay it, but for the culture, especially now, they helped us. ASAP Mob,
yo, I won't even cap. I did not even think of ASAP Mob as a dynasty. Let's actually get into it, because, like, they have impacted the culture a lot, hey? Because you look at it, started with, like, Yabs, the whole movement started with Yams, and then picking up Rocky, and from then on, obviously, they went on to go spread out and got more members. So you have, like, your ASAP ads. Who else is on their keys?
First. But Playboy, I don't know how Playboy played a part, but he was a part of somehow.
He was a part of it, like, later on. Because, like, right now we're still, like, discussing the legacy or its impact in the early stages, you know. Mm-hmm. Because they sort of opened the doors for rappers to, like, go into fashion, but they sort of just expanded upon the idea, you know, rappers like Kanye started.
Yeah. So, Ian Connor, where do we place Ian Connor? Is he a part of that ASAP?
I want to say yes, but I don't know. Ian Connor's relationship with ASAP Mob or the OG group, it didn't, you know, really sustain that long. It didn't really last that long. And, like, at times you were confused as to whether they were actually a thing together. So I don't know. I don't really count him as part of, like, that dynasty. But we can definitely, like, mention a V-Lone, for example.
Oh, dang. What's his name? ASAP Bari.
ASAP Bari.
Bari. Yeah, but he got canceled. Before he got canceled, that V-Lone line that Nike had, like, especially those kicks. Jesus.
Yeah. Man, it was hard because they were doing a lot. There was the collabos with Vans, the collabos with Off-White. So that's just, like, an example of how, you know, a hip-hop dynasty just stretches further than just the music, you know. It's the impact they also made on, like, fashion culture. Because, you know, before ASAP Rocky, I don't think there was a lot of niggas rocking Vans. casually, you know, like they like sort of the ASAP Mob group kind of just brought them back.
Facts. Yeah. Okay, and one question I have with the likes of Virgil Abloh, does he fall under a dynasty? Because I mean, he came up with Kanye at some point.
That's interesting. But
Kanye's movement was off. It was outside of music, so. When we talk music and Kanye, we're talking about Def Jam, we're talking about Rockefeller, and Virgil Abloh does not fall within that space, but he definitely did fall in the space of Kanye's fashion movement. So if we were to speak on
the fashion side,
yeah,
the thing is, rap isn't just about the music, it's also about the culture. And I feel like Virgil Abloh was brought in by Kanye to help elevate the culture in some way. It's like the same thing.
On a personal level, not with regards to the whole system.
Yeah. A$AP Beyonce made music.
But he was a part of the system. He firmly stood, like he himself was about the system. Virgil Abloh was nothing. He didn't give a fuck about what the system had to say with regards to Rockefeller and all that stuff, because he didn't deal with it. Dealt with Kanye.
Nah, but the thing is, Shah, we're talking about like Virgil in the sense that he's a branch of Kanye, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. So.
But do we really want to extend and put him a part of Rockefeller because he was associated with Kanye?
Nah, I don't want to put him under Rockefeller. I'll put him under the Good Music Dynasty.
Oh, shit. Okay, I forgot about Good Music.
Yeah.
You can associate him with that, then. I don't mind that.
But like, if you're going to mention A$AP Mob, we have to mention Odd Future. What do you guys think?
Oh my gosh, another good one. Odd Future is definitely a dynasty, because they were as the group, they just were formed, you know, around 2010 and everything. Yeah. But what the artists have done, and you know, the parts they've all gone on now, they've made like a huge impact in like hip hop culture. Because even like, remember Tyler the Creator's Loiter Squad, you know, it opened like a whole new lane for like rappers to promote themselves in different ways, like with funny videos like that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Even
Reality Frank TV Ocean. Boys.
Yeah, Frank Ocean.
And those like deep ass like soul music kind of shit being mixed into like the hip hop scene, because our future is predominantly hip hop.
Yeah, I think in the 2010s, Odd Future has to be somewhere in the top five.
For sure.
For dynasties.
Yeah.
If you were to rank 2010s dynasties, what would you put in there? Because
first one, for me, niggas might fight, but it's going to be Dreamville.
Number one. Yeah. Number one. Yeah. Nah, there you
go. Dreamville. They gave it back to J.I.D., Ari. I don't know, maybe I just love J. Cole. Who else is in Dream?
Thing is, I feel like
Earth Gang.
Yeah. But Ari Lennox.
Mentioned
Village as a whole, I guess.
Yeah.
But Black is not a part of Dream, but he's kind of associated.
He's associated, but we can't put him under Dreamville.
Also Sawa and all those names.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nah, they're not part of the dynasty.
Yeah, but they're really close to them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like the same thing that goes back to Virgil Abloh and all those names. Even though there's certain people that are signed to the group or that are main members of the group, there's always going to be other people around that feed into the group and feed into the culture.
Facts.
Mm.
Facts.
So yeah, you were still busy. You said Def Jam.
I said Dreamville.
Nah, I think you said Def Jam. I was joking. Go on.
I want to say OVO, but like with OVO, it's just Drake.
And like if we're being honest about OVO, guys, we know OVO didn't do that much, because like, where's Roy? You ask yourself, like, where's the Roy Woods of the world? What happened with Party Next Door? And I love Makonnen. You see, like, I wouldn't consider like OVO a good dynasty example, but I consider like OVO to be an extension of like the Young Money dynasty.
And like at the same,
The Weeknd, he's not necessarily associated under the OVO brand, but his brand was enhanced by the OVO brand, because that was that's how I found out about the Weeknd. OVO XO.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know who the fuck XO was, and then I started like bumping. Then Wicked Games came on, and then it was rap, so I was hooked.
So the same thing, if you're gonna fight that OVO is only being manned by one person, carried by one person, you can go back to like Rockefeller. Who do you remember from Rockefeller? Jay-Z and Kanye.
At least that's two people though.
Killer Cam. Nigga, there was Killer Cam. What do you mean, nigga? There was fucking Ja Rule, nigga.
Okay, yeah.
This nigga.
But those niggas came.
Niggas be saying anything. Because Swizz Beatz was also under Rockefeller as well. Because like they helped like shape, you know, that early 2000 sound.
But like with dynasties, at the end, when you look back, there's always going to be those two or three rappers that stood out. Everybody else was good, but there's always three rappers that stand out. Same thing with the Young Money, same thing with...
That's the thing. It's how big of an impact do those artists that stood out. So like when I look at the Young Money dynasty, right?
Yeah.
I'm mostly going to be looking at what Drake, Nicki, Tiger, and Wayne did, you know? Because obviously there's still like the Gutter Gutters, Corey Guns. Wait, what'd you... Exactly. But like, it's like, you look at what those main core members have done, right? And obviously like also what the tape that they released did. Because what's it called? The first album, We Are Young Money, it sold 142,000 copies in the first week. Yeah. So like things like that are insane. Like, you have to take them into account into like the impact that Dynasty like left, you know? Because you remember even with Young Money, they sort of like changed. They didn't change fashion culture, but they made an impact with the whole YMCMB movement. Because you had people like rocking all the caps. You had people quoting all the lyrics.
Facts.
And then like, let's talk about like some South African dynasties. Do you guys think we have South African rap dynasties, or is it too early to say? Because I think we have some.
We've had.
Rap Life is a dynasty.
Rap Life? Nah.
Rap Life died last year,
man. I don't know what this dude is saying.
It birthed something, you know?
No.
It might be something that we look back on. Like, Wu-Tang kind of is a brand now, but that's only because of, like, the love of hip-hop. As the love of hip-hop grows here, the brand of Rap Life is still going to be enhanced in its own way. I don't know whether it's going to be a continuous business in the future, but it's something that we definitely going to look back in the history books and be like, nah, it was a huge contributing factor for where we are. Just like KO being a part of, what is it?
KO wasn't a part of Rap Life.
KO's
dynasty is Cash Time. Because it started with tear gas. And then you look at what happened and which artists started to associate. Remember the whole dust sound that was going around in 2014? Like that was an extension of tear gas, Cash Time, and you know, it sort of just like breathed new life into hip hop and made like that impact, that statement in South African hip hop culture.
But in SA, if you take in dynasties, KO obviously stands out because it's being put in niggas on from like Cash Time. Now he came back with Sky in the Wild.
Yeah. And like, I think the Cash Time dynasty is still going strong because now you have guys like Roy, you know, who are under the label.
But like now he's changed to Sky in the Wild.
Yeah, it's just changed to Sky in the Wild. Oh, so would you consider like Sky in the Wild to be the new dynasty?
Cash Time. The new Cash Time. So he took off Moosey and all those people and he just found fresh rappers.
And then,
can we just... I just want to bring them in right now. Boys and Bucks. Oh my fuck.
If we're talking South African dynasties, we definitely have to talk about them. Because like, in terms of cultural impact, they fucked up again. It's weird. You can't even consider them a rap group. Like, they were just dudes moving together, not even a label. But you look at like what they've done since they formed. Because like, they basically like, they're the reason for Brum culture being the way it is right now. Fact. You know, the fashion in the streets, dudes doing it for themselves, making their own music videos. Like, they sort of like the fathers of that movement, you know?
Yeah.
If we talk
about independence.
Yeah. It started with them. Definitely one of the biggest dynasties. I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think about Squatter Camp being a dynasty?
Definitely.
Yo, one of the big, like, when you look at how far it trickles down, like, from the original Squatter to Slicker.
On Live.
when you look at Squatter, then you say Bada Bang, then you say Questa, then you say Nota as well, then you say, what's his name, Younger Chief.
For sure, like, yo. That's a huge legacy that's left, eh?
Dog. Okay, like, Younger Chief used to do videography for these bulls, and of course, like, he went into rapping as well, and his lane in itself has already given birth to a lot. Like, when you look at what he's done in terms of just AKA's career as a whole, like the writing and all of that shit.
Yeah.
Younger Chief. Like I said with Questa, that it trickles down all the way to the likes of Rap Life, right? Your Makwa beats, your My Bubbles, your, what's this, infusing that with like the likes of Pori's sound and that. At becoming a whole thing by itself. Like, I think between Tear Gas and Squatter Cap, between those two initial Thingy Keys parties, I think it's easy to argue that they might have the longest line of succession when it comes to what's this, dynasties and shit.
Yeah.
So I think they might be the biggest. Squatter is definitely one. I'm sorry. That was the question.
Not for sure. Definitely. But now I have, like, something on my mind, right? I'm trying to look at Motswako. Is there a Motswako dynasty? Because, like, we have a lot of niggas that, you know, come from the Motswako sound. And, you know, we can say, like, Casper is part of, like, that dynasty. But, like, if you're trying to go back to the original, like, branch of the tree, like, the roots, right? What would you say that is?
Double HP, Mo Mulemi, what's this nigga's name? Duke Singanga.
Cooley.
Morafe as a whole. That's, I feel like that's, those are the roots of it. And of course, like, when you look at first generation out, boom, it was the likes of Cooley. Cooley, okay, was a part of Morafe, but like his solo career, that and the likes of, I'd say, second branch is easily Book has been them. But now you have the likes of
Maclera.
Okay, Clara, you have Boity now coming through with the raps. Dude, what's this, Ginger Trill? Does Ginger Trill kind of falls under that umbrella? Because he's also
I want to, but thing is, like, he's so different from the umbrella, you know. Because he's, you know, he's one of the English rappers. He's, and like the whole sound, like, I don't think I've ever heard him on, like, you know, those Motswako kind of beats. So it's hard for me to, like, put him under that dynasty, you know, the Motswako dynasty. But we could count him to an extent.
So who, like, with regards to that, like, if you're looking at it from that perspective, with the likes of Motswako and them, right, who would you say in terms of, I want to say, thing is, it's not just down to language, but in terms of those kinds of dynasties, in terms of, like, Motswako, and you see every few years, every odd year or so, there's someone new coming through from that branch, and then you have something similar happening in other places. Yeah, I think it's very area oriented. Like, when you come to Pretoria, you have your line of rappers. Okay, there's both Black Lairs in them, and then there's these bulls, and now you have the likes of Miles. Before Miles, I want to say Folk is a predecessor to what Miles is doing, but it's not really.
But not really. Like, I can put Folk more under, you know, like, as a successor to Casper. That's where I'd rank him.
So would you say that Folk is a part of that Motswako thing?
Yeah, 100%, definitely.
But
that's interesting.
That's less of a rap dynasty and more of a sound for me. So now you niggas are just talking about the sound.
About sound, okay.
Yeah, he's following the same type of sound instead of actually moving together and pushing together at the same time.
Word.
Yeah. Thank you. But like dynasties, niggas have to be moving together at the same time, doing the same shit, putting each other on. Right now, Boity and them are just coming from the same area and making the same sound as what WHP and Coolie Chan and all of them started.
Yeah. So the difference is that they were moving together. Even if, like, you know, the rap dynasty doesn't move together anymore, but it's like originally what was going on.
It's like what happened in the East Coast and what happened in the West Coast. There's always rappers that are gonna pop off from those kind of places and have a similar sound to that, but they don't necessarily form any sort of group or relationship with the people that came before them.
Mm.
They just take what those people started and make it better, make it their own style.
Yeah.
And incorporate what they did back then.
Okay, so like looking back into like dynasties then, would you consider Ambitious at its core at the original a dynasty?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you look at like it birthed, you know, MT, and then it birthed Ares. Even though Ares has like, you know, split from the group now, it also births Java. So like, yeah, like the Ambitious dynasty would obviously be those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but their run hasn't been that long though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. Yeah. I'm saying their run as a dynasty, Ambitious as a whole, like their run hasn't been that long. And with them, like, there's a lot of turmoil with regards to people being unhappy or happy at the end of the day. Are Stino Letweni part of them?
Please can we define long? Because I know Ambitious has been in the game. When did
2016.
Yeah.
2021, though. That's like 5 years.
Yeah, but like those initial rappers never lasted that long.
But
yeah.
Ambitious is still pushing.
Yeah.
New wave kids now. What's this rap group's name?
Black Diamond.
Black Diamond. It's a single group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Diamond.
Ambitious still doing well, but like the original members all left because they were unhappy.
But it's the dynasty still.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of Ambitious, but I still give him the flowers because he's still continuing to put on people.
I don't want to say it's the same thing as what Shoot Knight did, but it's very similar.
Mm.
Like the nigga on top stealing shit and everybody else gets unhappy at the end of the day.
But
also, Jay-Z did something similar when he sold People's Masters when he joined Def Jam.
Are we maybe? I'm just asking now because
yeah.
I'm a neutral human being in my core. Are we maybe being too tough on Ambitious? Because labels, like big labels, do it so often. It's
yeah.
Like we numb to it. But when we see an Ambitious, an up and coming label doing it, we get pissed because now it's people that who are down with us, who should understand what is our struggle, yet they're still going to use it against us. Should we be more pissed? I mean, should we be as pissed, or should we just like be like, that's the game?
I think people hate Ambitious because they overdo it. Why are rappers getting salaries of less than 20k?
Okay.
Why are people not getting their awards? Why are people?
But that's stemming from like the dynasty chat. Now we got going into record labels.
Yeah.
But I do hear what you're saying because Good Music did go through something similar. Apparently, like even Big Sean, he wasn't like paid a lot of money and he was owed a lot of money, and that's why he left. Because I don't think he's still with Good Music to this day.
What Shaw was saying, with regards to us being tough on Ambitious, and I think he's absolutely right. And it stems from exactly what he just said. I think it stems from the fact that when we look at the likes of Ambitious and up and coming label, we really look at it as like, yo, these are people that understand what some of these artists have had to go through, so they'll implement something different. And at the end of the day, they do what these big shot, what do you call them, record labels do, which is fuck artists out of their deals. And it's crazy, but that's exactly how record labels work. That's how record labels make money. So I agree with him in the sense, you know, we do put a lot of pressure on Ambitious, and it has a microscope on it because it's still pretty young and you'd expect them to like conduct their shit differently, but they're doing the exact same shit. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, now I want to ask you guys, when it's all said and done then and the dust clears, is Ambitious going to be regarded as the biggest hip-hop dynasty South Africa has ever seen?
Ever seen?
Yeah.
I think they have...
They just think about who they've birthed
yeah.
and what they've done since. Because I'm looking at the hits that are being put out by, obviously, MT, and now he's a standalone artist, and he's big on his own. Then you look at an Ares again. The hits he was putting out with Ambitious and under Ambitious, and when he was still working with everybody there, and like now as a standalone like performer, and Amanda Black as well, you know, what they've done since then is huge. As individual artists, now they've all left their mark, but again, they fall under that Ambitious dynasty.
Yeah.
I think when everything is done, KO is gonna be, I don't know how, but when everything is done, is gonna be the greatest.
But how do we define his pure movement? Like, I get that he started by tear gas and then he went off. You see, whereas Ambitious, we can see where they started, what they began with, what it birthed, and what it continued with.
Mm.
Whereas KO, there's certain things where we can't necessarily point out he was purely starting it. Because, yes, he was tear gas, but I'm not sure what the leadership dynamics was, what the direction was at that point.
I feel like
whereas Scandalworld, I can see the direction.
Yeah. I feel like he's had something similar to what Lil Wayne had. You see how Lil Wayne went from Hot Boys, and then at the end he started Young Money, and well, he never started a third dynasty or whatever, joined the third thing. But KO did the same thing. He went from Tear Gas, then it was Cash Time. But Cash Time died out. Now it's Scandal, like what you said earlier.
But what we did with Weezy and them, we classified Young Money as Young Money. We didn't look back to Cash Money. We didn't look back to them. See what I'm saying?
I get you.
So I'm thinking, can we define how we want to like set it up so that we can actually clarify whether we go Ambitious is or whether we actually go KO?
But even with just Cash Time brought up a lot of people, like from 2014 to like 2017-18. They were one of the biggest niggas in SA. In 2016, everybody was rocking Cash Time shit.
So, yeah, again, it's not just the music. Because you remember like how they changed, like, you know, the fashion culture in SA.
Remember Petrol and Milk.
Yeah. Was that Cash Time? Was that Cash Time?
It was KO and his stuff, because it came about after Karakara, dog.
Yeah. He made Petrol and Milk pretty famous.
Like it was nothing until the culture, his movement put it on.
Yeah, I feel like in like 10, 20 years, when you look back and you look at KO's legacy, then it's going to be bigger than Ambitious alone. Him alone, what he has done, is going to be bigger than Ambitious. Mm. Obviously, he didn't do it with one specific company or one specific group. It took him a couple of groups, but he's put on way more people than anyone else in this country.
Facts. Yeah. I feel like even that El Tito thing, remember We Rolling?
That was with KO.
That was a KO put on. KO was kind of was given this bull young platform. And yeah, but I'm saying, like, not until now did I actually think about it and realize that Le Motive has a point. Like, that nigga in 10 years' time, we're going to look back and think, this bull has really put on a lot of people. And another thing about Ambitious, man, is, like, a record label, like, this is where it becomes tricky to talk about them as a dynasty. Nah. Cool, they have all these artists that they've produced, but a lot of those artists are not happy with their situation or what their situation was with them. So I think for now, all I can say is that, like, we can call them a good launching pad. It's a good launching pad to a great career, but as a dynasty, I think things such as good ties have to come into that, and being able to pay homage to, like, the people that put you on. And right now, I don't think anyone wants to do that when it comes to Ambitious. With South Africa, when it comes to dynasties, it's gonna be about individuals and who they put on. Yeah. Unfortunately, like, if you think about the likes of Ricky Rick, he's gonna have a lot of people on his belt, like, in 10 years' time. The same thing with, like, KO. The same thing with KO really applies to Ricky Rick. If you think about the likes of, dude, Uncle Vinny, what the fuck does Uncle Vinny do? Is he a hype man? He's the biggest bull in these streets, dog. He's just big, and it's off of the whole Cotton Fest culture thing. So when it comes to dynasties, I feel like Cotton Fest and Cotton, whatever, right?
Cotton Club, right?
That, in the long run, is gonna birth a really beautiful dynasty, in my opinion. Because even with that part that he has going on with those two bulls, you understand, like, those niggas in the, they're in their bag, like they're really fucking dope at their shit, and that in itself kind of adds to his dynasty and so on and so forth.
So does then Cotton Fist not fall under like the Boys and Bucks dynasty in a sense?
Oh shit, you're right. You're actually right.
As we can say it's like Ricky's whole thing, it doesn't happen, you know, again without Boys and Bucks. It goes back to like, you know, that original birthplace.
Yeah.
You can also say something similar about Aries. I don't know if you niggas are gonna agree with me, but after Reese left Ambitious, came back and he started the whole was it Rubber Band Gang at first? Wrecking Crew. Yeah, Wrecking Crew. Even though they all broke up at the end, it was still a crazy movement.
It was a crazy movement, but I'm just looking at what's transpired since, right?
Yeah.
When you look at Wrecking Crew, the only people that are popping is Flame, Mash, and Reese.
Yeah.
Like, can you really say anyone else from Wrecking Crew has attained, like, you know, a dynasty level of success, yeah?
To be fair, they're super young.
They are.
Yeah. And I think Reese can still do more.
Yeah.
He will do more, I think.
Also, what he did with Bello Salo, that also counts in a way, because now Bello Salo is associated with Reese in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's blowing up because of the association he has with Reese.
But then that's Reese's own thing, then. I think like this is where we see a dynasty forming, like in its early stages.
If you're being honest,
mm-hmm.
The Wrecking Crew was Aries.
It was Aries.
It was.
People left.
It was the Beyonce as fuck.
Yeah. People left. He stayed. So that's still the Wrecking Crew, even though they changed the name because people left. I feel like it's still the same thing. Goes back to the KO thing. When people weren't happy and they started leaving Cast Time, he went and he signed other people and he used a different name. But it's all, again, comes back to the same thing. Also, Jay-Z, after Rockefeller, then Def Jam, came back, changed the name, Rock Nation. Still Jay-Z, still running the same.
It still falls under, like, his dynasty. Nah, I hear that. And then, like, going back to international dynasties, what's like your guys' definition of a successful dynasty? Because for me, I feel like it's success over a long period of time, you know, and like obviously what it's done for the culture and the impact it's left. So what would you guys say are the most successful dynasties
ever?
I
think Death Row has to be up there. Obviously Rockefeller, Young Money.
Do you put, like, when you say Young Money, are you going to put it under Cash Money, though? Or is Young Money, like, its own thing?
Just
in
Young
this
Money.
Sense. Okay.
This nigga spit it.
I want to say Eminem's thing.
Shady Records, no. Shady Records, I wouldn't classify it as a dynasty.
After that, from there.
What, like, a successful 50
Cent,
one, sorry.
50 Cent did.
G-Unit.
Yeah, G-Unit. I think G-Unit was one of the craziest things that ever happened. What else? I'm trying to think.
Thing is, when I look at Shady Records dynasty, right,
yeah.
I'm thinking, cool, there's 50 Cent, there was also Proof, but a lot of the artists from Shady Records, they didn't really make as big of an impact in hip-hop to classify them as a dynasty.
Because
like now I'm looking at like a Detroit 12, you know, that group that Eminem had with like a bunch of other rappers from Detroit. They didn't make, the Yellow Wolf, like you see, like, we know them, but they didn't make a big Slaughterhouse. They didn't make that big of an impact, dog. You know what I'm saying?
He had Griselda Records on there for a couple of months. It wasn't really that long. Shade 45, which is the station that, what's his name? Sway in the Morning. Yeah, that's on Shade 45, and that belongs to Shady Records. For me, that's like their biggest accomplishment.
Okay, if you have Sway, then I think it changes the discussion.
If we can't say, Shady Records, when we think of where Shady Records comes from, where does it come from?
It comes from Aftermath.
Where does Aftermath come from?
Death Row.
It's so crazy. It's crazy how all these things are just the same people that went through something that was successful and they got the formula and they can come back, use it to introduce new people into the scene. I feel like it's the best way for people to blow up in a way. To get found by someone that's already been there, got the knowledge from someone that was bigger and passing the knowledge after that. I don't know. I think those are the most successful kind of
dynasties
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That helps. So, what?
I said facts.
Yeah. Also with Jay-Z, you know, Jay-Z started off with like the New York sound. Was it Rough Riders? with like DMX.
Yeah, those are the Rough Riders.
And then Faith Evans, everything. And then he got passed on the information from those niggas and came back with Rockefeller and all that shit.
So in turn, like that's the dynasty there.
Yeah. So I feel like all this shit just comes from there. You see how it was Death Row, and then Aftermath, and Shady Records, G Unit. From there, that's why we
call it like a dynasty,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So tell me, guys, about Coach KMP with Quality Control. How do you guys feel about those niggas?
Yeah,
that comes back to like the ambitious kind of thing. Like the new age dynasties are very different from how they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer the same thing. They all just taking what Def Jam is doing and trying to run with that. So instead of focusing on one person and making it look like a group, some sort of, it's more of a record label now.
Yeah,
it's just niggas that get signed and then they just get put together and they just make albums, compilation albums or whatever you call them, and then they just drop them.
Yeah. So yes.
Between QC and TDE, which would you say is more dynasty? Let's say they're the beginning and the end.
I say it's Dreamville, bro.
Yeah, that's not what he asked. But going to what Dalu asked, I'd say TDE is more dynasty like, just because of, you know, the impact that Kendrick, Schoolboy, SZA, like the impact they've all left, and like, and you now even see like the whole thing with Kendrick Lamar and PG Lang. It's just birthed a whole bunch of new stuff, you know. Like with TDE, they've even stretched outside of normal music. They were working on the Black Panther album, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't hear about a lot of hip-hop record labels working on a movie soundtrack, whereas like now it's becoming the new thing, because you have Slaughter Gang who's like doing a movie soundtrack now.
And then it becomes tricky again, because when you think of Kendrick, where does Kendrick come from?
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick, he started at Aftermath.
He didn't start at Aftermath. He's always been at TDE, but yeah, he did do work with Aftermath because of Dre.
Co-signed Kendrick, thus co-signing TDE.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, I didn't know that.
So like TDE is its own dynasty that started like by itself, you know. Like we saw like the birth of a new dynasty.
And after Section 80 and whatever, that's when he joined Aftermath.
No, he never joined Aftermath.
He never
just
joined
got the co-sign from Dre.
Yeah.
So Dre was like, you don't.
So he never joined that at all.
No.
So TDE started kind of like, I don't want to say falling under because it was a mutual joint partnership, but obviously the one with the most resources has the most power at the time. So I don't necessarily know the power dynamics.
Yeah.
But
in a way, there was some sort of influence.
Yeah, but it was definitely not a case of Aftermath signing Kendrick.
I feel like that's what makes it more easier for us to define some of these things. When it's niggas that signed with each other, that's more easier to describe what's going on there. But if it's niggas that hang out together and they make music together, it's more difficult to like describe who's in it. Word. That's what we're supposed to do at an honor.
But you can say TDE is a part of the Aftermath movement, because without Dre,
it's a child of the movement, most definitely.
Mm.
But in its,
it was pushing its own thing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say.
I don't think it would have gotten to the scale it did with the pace it did if Dre and Aftermath didn't pull them.
Mm.
So thus,
and it definitely wouldn't exist without Aftermath being in existence.
Mm. Yeah,
you know.
Mm.
So I think we could give Aftermath TDE.
What are your guys' thoughts on Maybach Music Group?
Oh, Maybach. Damn, that's Meek Mill, Rick Ross, and who else?
That were Wale. They were dope,
but they were much smaller.
Yeah.
But I think they did better than OVO.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they did better than TDE.
They did better than TDE. Commercially, hold on, Doug. Hold on.
In the 2010s.
In the early 2010s, yes. Because I think the album About Nothing also still fell under Maybach Music Group. So it was a huge impact. But to say it's bigger than TDE?
If we're talking commercially, TDE.
Who comes from TDE?
Schoolboy Q, Caesar, Kendrick.
Already?
J-Rock.
J-Rock.
Who's not selling Caesar?
my dog, I don't know what this nigga's on.
when it comes to moving as a unit, I think they did it way better than TDE does. I don't know how to explain it, but if you were to ask me who's a better dynasty between TDE and MMG,
I disagree as well.
TDE formed Black Hip. Remember Black Hip? Yeah. Remember how dope Black Hip was? Mm. How much it off of Kendrick's buzz, Black Hippie growed.
Yeah.
Thus, the artist, a part of Black Hippie beyond Kendrick, also grew.
Thing is, I'm also looking at like TDE and what it's done to hip hop. It brought that sort of conscious sound to commercial, like commercial mainstream music.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Lamotiv. How can you say it's bigger? It's like MMG was bigger.
I think you don't even go platinum.
I think Dreamville and MMG are better than TDE.
Nah, you're being biased there. I say Dreamville definitely has an argument over TDE because of the compilation tape and it like winning a Grammy, because that was huge. So many artists got their first Grammy noms from that.
Yeah.
So I can definitely like see the argument that Dreamville, it might be a better dynasty than TDE, but we'd have to like go deep into it though.
Yeah. Dreamville, I'm still fighting it, guys.
You're still fighting it. What's your argument?
I see what it's birthed so far, but oh my days, guys. TDE, even to this day, they're giving us like, I don't listen to him like that, but like, I know he's becoming a name that's buzzing nowadays. Reason.
Mm.
Not our reason.
I respect
our reason. I respect him, but like, I'm talking about like the international reason, you know.
Mm. That's the thing. I was talking to Jason about this actually last night. And we were talking about how TDE is more of a rap kind of thing. It's like a group of niggas that can rap really, really well. They're all great rappers. You can agree to that. But when it comes to like Dreamville, they more commercially, I don't know, acceptable, and they.
What?
You don't agree with that?
Commercially.
Who are the most commercial artists from Dreamville?
That is a good.
Because you'll have Cole, but yeah. Would you say JID is a commercial rapper?
He's going there.
He's not there yet though.
Yeah.
Dalu says, let's put up the best five from Dreamville and the best five from TDE.
Okay, start with the top five from TDE.
Now, let's go one. I want you to see the comparison.
Yeah.
Okay, Kendrick,
let's start Kendrick. Kendrick
and
Cole.
This has to do with sales and
sales, impact, what they've done for the culture, everything.
Okay,
Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, Isaiah Rashad,
yo,
SZA, and let's say I'll throw in J-Rock.
Mm.
Right, give me Dreamville's best five and tell me like what commercial appeal, bro.
I'm also trying to hear this one. Motive, what are you doing?
I'm not gonna argue with three niggas.
That's what we're here for.
But like, I think Ari can watch Caesar. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Controversial. Very controversial.
Album sales. Come on.
Talent.
Okay, that one I agree with you.
I'm not gonna get into that argument.
Also, I think, this one needs. I don't know if I wanna say this one, but. To a certain extent, I think Cole is as good as Kendrick.
But we've moved away from Cole. You're supposed to name three more from Dreamville. Because like,
and then we come to Buzz.
Buzz.
Come on.
Do you think Buzz has made a bigger impact than an Isaiah Rashad?
Currently, in the current times, because that nigga wasn't dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Currently.
Only because of that. But if he was dropping,
but thing is, Isaiah has sustained so much relevance off of one album.
done that for 4 years. Like, commercially relevant now waiting. Because he's dropping now again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when it was a quiet period and we were waiting, dude, we got tired of speaking about him.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Whereas Bass gave us more music that we can speak on, thus his name started popping up more than Isaiah.
Also, F Gang have been doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I feel like...
Are they outselling Schoolboy Q, though?
Right now, I think they are.
Have they worked with Kanye? These are the questions. These are and the questions.
I think the tricky thing right now is Dreamville is much younger than TDE. So, like, if you give a nigga like JID 5 more years, I think he can be as big as Schoolboy Q and all those niggas.
Okay, I hear you.
Very possible.
I hear you. Now, okay, let's put up two more dynasties, right, against each other. Roc Nation against Young Money. Which one had the bigger impact? Nah.
Nah, wait. Wait, are we talking
Roc Nation? Because when we're talking Roc Nation...
Oh, wait, Roc Nation, are we including Rockefeller?
Nah, we'll just talk Roc Nation, so we're focusing on the tens. Yeah. And when we say that, we're talking Jay-Z... Kanye to a certain extent, because it was before, you know, the whole good music movement. And then you can add Rihanna. So you can, like, it's those three going up against the other against Big, what?
J. Cole.
So it's that three going up against, like, now Weezy, Nicki, and Drake. Roc Nation has Uzi. That was a recent addition, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done enough under Roc Nation for him to be like in part as part of like the dynasty chat.
Roc Nation has Jaden Smith.
Roc Nation, how long have they had Jaden Smith for?
They had him for this project. I don't know. I think it, from Cyro, but I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
I stand to be corrected. Let's check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Roc Nation have given Durant, nigga.
That's the thing. Roc Nation has sports as well. Nah. Like, it's not just the music, they have the sports management as well. They have Duse, they have Aces and Spades.
Dog. Roc Nation is very hectic. I'm going to say Roc Nation.
He was.
Because if you look at it purely off of music and you go Young Money, it's literally Drake, Nicki, and thing. It's Drake, Nicki, and what's his
Weezy.
Name? And Weezy.
What about Tiger?
He's a porn star now. You tell me.
You don't have to say that.
Hmm? The nigga's done bad.
But he still had his impact, though. He still had his impact.
Yeah, facts. With Roc Nation, I think the one person that's holding them down, that's like weighing them down, is Vic Mensa.
Definitely.
But like, I see Roc Nation has Vic Mensa. Do you know who Bad Boy has right now?
Bad Boy, Birdman.
Bad Boys, or whatever.
Bad Boy.
Did his thing.
Oh, Bad Boy Entertainment.
Yeah. They only left with French Montana and Machine Gun Kelly, bro. That's a crazy fall-off.
That's a crazy fall-off from the stable that they had, or like the team that they had.
From Biggie, the legends just died off.
Jesus.
Bad Boy's influence has grown beyond the music now.
Yeah.
Because Diddy, in his own, has created a legacy. Yeah, with the alcohol brands and all of that stuff.
Mm. Clothing lines as well.
You see, so we can say that it fell off musically, but yeah.
Mm. Okay, nah. But I think like that's a good place to wrap up, like in terms of rap dynasties. We get the picture.
Yeah.
Again, like our definition for it is like, you know, the most successful ones are the ones that have been successful for the longest periods of times and have made the most impact, not just in music, but then also on hip-hop culture as well. Because hip-hop culture, most people tend to forget, it's not just the music, it's like everything surrounding it, clothing, what you're doing from that. Like, that's just hip-hop culture as a whole summed up.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So that's Streets Are Done podcast. Catch you on the next episode. We signing out. Boysons.
It's been mad real. Thank you, niggas, for calling me in.
Streets is done.